Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, episode 109 of Tatooine Sons. The past couple of weeks have been jammed with discussion about everyone's favorite Padawan learner, Ahsoka Tano, as she returned in Season 7 of The Clone Wars, while rumors swelled about her possible appearance in Season 2 of The Mandalorian. Of course, this isn't without controversy. We'll discuss all of that along with why we think Ahsoka Tano is such a popular character in Star Wars, plus hot takes, poll results, and more.
I'm glad I gave you something to look forward to.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream... That Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father, sharing his love for amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're probably still familiar with Rosario Dawson in, Marvel's Daredevil.
Yeah, but why are we talking about Rosario Dawson anyway? What's that got to do with... It may happen soon.
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So, on that note, here's my dad's bow tie Jedi got.
Been a kind of a crazy couple weeks for us in this family.
Especially
a little bit.
Yeah, mom got pretty sick. Some of you guys on Twitter and Facebook all saw she was having these stroke-like episodes. Actually, was in the hospital for a couple of days. But we're thanking God it was not a stroke. It was this thing called complicated migraines. And she's had one since she's been home from the hospital, but it was a short one. And we kind of could predict it was coming based on the symptoms she was having and managed it well. And so thank you guys for your prayers and thoughts on that. So how are you guys doing?
Fine.
Quarantine update. How quarantine life? Are you any different, really, BB Nate?
No.
Except you're not going to movies.
That's pretty sad.
That is pretty sad. Sam, your quarantine is crazy.
Yeah, school's not much fun right now. But we'll see.
Doing it online, calculus and stuff like that.
Physics
and stuff online.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they're going to do labs in physics, but we'll figure it out. Yeah.
My work situation is pretty much, normal. I work from home. So that's what's going on there. Let's see, for my birthday, I got the T. Ross novelization. I'm about... two-thirds of the way through. Some different plot lines and stories and some expansions on some plot lines.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. There's one thing that stuck in my head from the movie that bothered me from the very first showing on that I'm hoping that they're getting ready to resolve. So, my trust is in you, Ray Carson. I hope you resolved it. She's the one that wrote it. Anyway. And we got a review.
Yeah.
We got a review this week from our good old buddy Todd Hoffman. We actually were on WSTR, Galactic Public Access, a while back. I loved being on that show with them. They had like four or five people on there, and then we were all on there.
It was crazy.
Yeah. There was a lot of talk with it. But he gave us a review, so we're very, very excited about that. Hold on. Let me see if you can give a it says, Rebellions are built on hope. This the title was Positively Hopeful. Aww. That's good. Rebellions are built on hope. The Force is definitely strong in this family. Sam, Nate, and David bring it every week. Well produced. Wow, that makes me feel good. It's just, every week is a challenge for me on that. And a ton of fun. There is not many podcasts out there that can say they named a character in the Star Wars universe. Very true. Very, very true. Turbis is the real deal. Porg, love these guys, and they have fun, engaging, uplifting conversations. Oh, yeah, they love Star Wars. Todd Hoffman, WSTR.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Cool. Well, we're going to try to get this through this podcast in a shorter period of time, and we'll explain later, some other time, why that's going to happen. But we're going to move straight into this last week's habit. I'm out of practice again. Last week's podcast, Poll of the Week.
So, are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What? No!
Oh, the pie. I just threw my podcast poor results on the floor because I was
confused. You can borrow mine if you want.
I was literally just about to tell him. All right.
Well, we got all the time in the world here, so not really. All right, last week's, well, 2 weeks ago, and when Mom went into the hospital, that sort of put... Yeah. A damper on that week's episode. We were getting ready to record that night. Actually, yeah, we were literally getting ready to record. And Dan Z from Coffee with Kenobi was going to be on. We haven't even been able to reschedule that because his schedule's gotten crazy with all the shows he's doing and everything else. But we were previously talked about coronavirus because that's, you know, what everybody else talks about. And fear.
What else is there to talk about?
Is a big part of what, you know, everybody's dealing with when it comes to coronavirus. So the podcast last time was about fear. And it says, which fear is most pervasive in Star Wars? We had fear of death, fear of loss, fear of failure, and other comment below. I think we got one other comment below, but they didn't actually even comment on it. They just clicked it. Okay. So that was 0.7%. Not a lot of comments on this week's podcast. Yeah. In fact, we're going to read every comment on this episode. Which would you guys say from your perspective, death, loss, or failure, which is the most pervasive
in Star Wars? Loss.
Definitely. You think fear of loss?
I can't remember what I said last week. I think I said loss, but
okay. I think fear of loss. That's what everybody else said. So fear of death was only 7.7% because you know if you're a Jedi, you're going to become one with the Force,
right?
With it, fear of failure was 18.2%, and then a whopping runaway. Winner was 73.4%.
All right.
On that.
We already talked about other comments.
Yeah, and then, you know, our buddy Todd Hoffman, not only did he give us a review, he gave us one of those comments that we're going to read. Very topical and on point. Thank you very much. His hashtag on his name was hashtag stay home.
Hashtag stay home. With a mask emoji. Yeah,
and the next one is Raylo Protestant at Raylo Natalie. That's a...
Yeah, really. She's been following us for a long time.
Yeah. Fear of abandonment or betrayal, but that could be tied to other fears.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about fear of it. Maybe she's the one that was other comment below. I bet she was. Because that is different than some of the others. I mean, you could tie it to maybe loss and that type of thing, but betrayal, really.
Yeah.
Hadn't thought about that one. Very good.
And then this next one is from Brian Wallace at Brian LGRW. He said, in Christ, there is no fear. I'm the leader of my house, and I can assure you there is no fear in my house. Jesus gave us his peace.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's cool. You know, and honestly, because of, you know, what we've gone through with Mom in the last couple of weeks, it's been something that we've had to, like, face. You know, there was fear. There was a lot of fear for a couple of days. At one point, they were talking about like serious neurological issues, and it was not a pleasant thing. So,
but she's better, and we're happy.
She is better, yeah, absolutely. And you know what Brian said on there was actually really accurate. You know, when you just sort of let it go and release it, and you realize that there is a God and He is good and He loves you and He's there to take care of you, that you don't have to live in fear. It's another verse in the Bible says, "Perfect love casts out fear." And so when you understand who gives us perfect love, that casts out fear.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Well, it's actually my lawn that needs help.
No problem. Try this grass seed.
Okay, sounds good.
And some fertilizer. And of course, a soil enhancer. Try these to start.
To start?
Lawn care doesn't have to be complicated. With everything you need for a lush, healthy lawn all in one bag, Pennington Lawn Booster gives you quicker, thicker, greener grass guaranteed. Pick up a bag of Lawn Booster today at the Home Depot.
So, All right. Well, why don't we got to move into hot takes?
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
I'm all out of sorts.
Yes, sir.
I'm supposed to read the bumper, like teaser, and then play the bumper.
Yeah, we can do it a little different.
Do you want to do like? Do you want to do it again?
No.
Do you think that they want to hear the bumper again? It's a good bumper. It's a shorter one.
It is a good bumper.
It's only a 15-second bumper. So, Star Wars is releasing a spy thriller on Disney Plus. The writer of the Rise of Skywalker novelization weighs in on Rey Skywalker. Mm. And Star Wars fans are losing their minds over Ahsoka Tano again. And that's actually not the bumper. So I didn't fix that. Star Wars Episode 1 is there's a game coming.
Yeah.
To Switch. And it's going to be pretty cool. And we're going to talk about all of that next on Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
That literally, Luke.
Thank you, Luke.
Pretty much everything in that sentence was wrong. I mean, it wasn't. Two things were right. But I changed something after we revamped the episode when Dan Z wasn't going to be able to be on it. And I forgot to update the teaser. So anyway, Cassie Nandor synopsis reveal promises an espionage-based Star Wars series. This is from the Illuminati, which I think is a great website name. The Illuminati. It says the series follows the adventures of rebel spy Cassian Andor during the formative years of the rebellion and prior to the events of Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Which
I would imagine it's pretty good
that it happens before Rogue One.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Right. So Diego Luna will reprise the role of Andor, which he originated in the 2016 film. And here's where it gets interesting. The rousing spy thriller will explore tales filled with espionage and daring missions to restore hope to a galaxy in the grip of a ruthless empire. Samuel Hutt, is this going to be more James Bond or Jason Bourne in a galaxy far, far away?
Definitely Jason Bourne.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. He's not going to be like a super high class going in with like the high rollers and stuff. No, I mean, this guy is going to have to be in the slumps, I have a feeling. I mean, that's what we saw him in Rogue One. Like, when we first saw him, he was in the back streets and stuff. So, it's definitely going to be more James Bond. Jason Bourne. They all start with J. Don't do that. But, yeah.
Well, not the Mission Impossible.
No, but that's very Ethan. Different.
It's not that different.
It's much more.
We've been watching Mission Impossible the last few nights. In fact, we're probably going to watch it again tonight. The new one. Number 5, right?
Yeah.
Is that the one we're on? Samuel, or BB Nate. That's your name over there, right?
Yes.
You're BB Nate. You're Samuel.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you've been listening to the show, you know I do this just about every other episode. I mess up your names. Anyway, do you think there's a possibility we could see a scene in one of the episodes where he's like going to a Canto Bight like casino and dressed all to the nines, spying on getting some information, and just sort of has a James Bond feel? Definitely. What would you think about something like that?
I think it's very possible, especially with what they could do. I mean, we don't really know a ton about Cassian. He's a spy, and spies have to do what
he's been in this fight since he was 6 years
old. He has been in this fight
since he was 6 years old. Are we going to see a 6-year-old
Is it going to be a broom
Cassian spy?
Broom bait boy kind of character?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Or we'll have like flashbacks like Din Djarin when he was being captured.
Maybe.
With it. You know, we do know a little bit about Diego Luna's We do know a lot about Diego Luna, but Cassian Andor and his family actually fought for the separatists in the Clone Wars with it. So he was like from that world with it, which is pretty. Are you excited about the idea of a spy espionage?
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
That's a category they've not really
explored.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Awesome. Next one, Rae Carson. We talked about her earlier, right?
Yeah.
We mentioned Rae Carson. She addresses the controversial ending of The Rise of Skywalker, the film, which this is straight from the horse's mouth, StarWars.com.
All right.
All right? Like, this is like going into the Force Tree on Ahch-To and getting information with it. Star Wars said that Rey famously takes on the Skywalker moniker. They were asking, they were in an interview with her. So they asked her, for StarWars.com, Rey famously takes on the Skywalker moniker at the end of the story. What does this mean for her and how does it enhance her journey since we met her on Jakku? And so Rey Carson answers, when I was 18 years old, I took on the moniker of my stepfather to honor the bonds of love and trust between us. I imagine it was much the same for Rey, who wanted to honor her own chosen family. I recognize that Rey's decision proved controversial, and I look forward to discussing this with fans for years to come. But my current take is this. The entire Skywalker saga is about Palpatine turning or trying to turn Skywalkers to the dark side. He especially hopes that Rey will prove a worthy vessel for his own power and ambition and become the Skywalker's final downfall. But in spite of all his efforts over the course of three generations, he fails. Rey rejects everything about him and takes on the Skywalker mantle and legacy. In the end, it's a Palpatine who turns to the light, thus handing the Skywalkers their ultimate victory. BB Nate, what do you think about Rey Carson's take on Rey Skywalker?
It's definitely more of an interesting one, one that I haven't thought of. But now that I think about it, I mean, I never had a problem with the scene at all. I thought it was good and that she took up the name and it was fine with me. I liked it. But now that that has been explained, it makes a lot
of sense.
Does
it kind of twist it? Because a lot of people were like, no, Palpatine won. It's only a Palpatine that survived and all that kind of thing. Do you think that this, Sam, this flips it on its head and actually her interpretation makes it work?
Reversal of everything. Yeah, I really like that. You know, instead of a Palpatine trying to turn Skywalkers to the dark side, it's a Palpatine turning to the light side.
Right. So, and it's the love of a Skywalker, Ben Solo, that redeems, in his redemption, he actually resurrects her, and the rebellion, or the resistance in this case, moves on, and the Jedi continue, and all of that. When I read that the first time, I was like, this is gold.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen some people, not the unreasonable ones.
I got a bad feeling about this.
But the reasonable ones on Twitter that were not happy with Rey Skywalker, not really happy with Rise of Skywalker in general, that have actually read this and actually commented and said, I can accept that. I can agree with that. So very cool.
Yeah, it definitely changes the way you look at it.
Absolutely. All right. Star Wars Episode 1 Racer! Woo-hoo!
This is your game.
Yeah, I'm going to just find a bunch of them. Oh, here's another one.
This is where the fun begins.
Yeah, Star Wars Episode 1 Racer is getting a Nintendo Switch re-release.
And PS4.
Is it going to be on PS4?
Yes.
Wow. Polygon.com.
So is Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy.
All right, well, let me read my stuff and then you can talk. Okay. During its Nintendo Direct on Thursday, Nintendo announced two new Star Wars games that will be making their way to the Switch soon. The first, Star Wars Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, was released on the Switch eShop last week. But Nintendo has also revealed that 1999's, my heart is like racing right now, Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, a pod racing game set during the first prequel, is coming to Switch as well. Star Wars Episode 1 Racer originally came out for Nintendo 64 back in 1999. I literally bought the Nintendo 64 for this game. I could buy this game and play.
Did you have fun?
Oh my gosh.
I remember you like having nostalgia trips when we went to that.
The eSport Arena?
Yeah, for my birthday. And you're like,
they set up the old Nintendo 64 for me so I could play it. During races, players have the ability to boost but have to manage engine temperature, and it wouldn't be pod racing if you couldn't violently ram your opponents into the walls of the course. I think we need to get this on Switch.
Yes, exactly.
Can I borrow yours, Nathan?
Yes, because actually, the only... I also read a little bit more about this because StarWars.com put an article out for it as well. And they were like, so it's going to be on the Switch and PS4, but it will only be local multiplayer. So, like, we'll only be able to play it with each other. But on the Switch, you can play LAN multiplayer. So you can play online.
So with other people.
But it has to be on your Wi-Fi, though.
No. That's local multiplayer. You can
That's what a LAN multiplayer is. I think... Local multiplayer means like on the same device.
Like you can all play.
LAN multiplayer means if people have different switches, but it's connected to the Wi-Fi.
I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that they're going to try to get online multiplayer as well, so you can play cool. other Star Wars
games. Well, I mean, really just fun. Playing with you guys would be good, because that might be the only Star Wars game that I could actually begin, at least early on, begin to beat you on. Because I was pretty good at Star Wars Episode One Racer. I was pretty
I think that'd be fun.
I mean, is that all you got to say about it?
It'd be cool to get it on the Switch, too, so we could take it, you know, wherever we want and stuff, so...
Right, like when we're driving across. When is it coming out? Did they say? On Racer?
Soon. I mean, Racer? Jedi Knight Jedi Academy and Jedi Knight Jedi Outcast have also both come out on the Switch, so.
Probably soon.
Hope so. Well, Ahsoka Tano is one of the most beloved characters in a galaxy far, far away. And the actress who played her in The Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, Ashley Eckstein, is just as adored. Like, BB Nate and I listened to her read a children's story last night. We did.
It was actually quite interesting.
It was, actually. But now, multiple sources are reporting that Ahsoka Tano will be appearing in live action, but will be played by the Star Wars superfan, Rosario Dawson. And guess what?
I got a bad feeling about this.
This is controversial.
No.
What?
We'll talk about it next.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
Find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so we're going to go straight to the source that actually broke the story, not the sources that have been pretending to have broke the story. hint, hint. But this isn't, you know, related to the Making Star Wars Network. That happened on some other stuff. But anyway, /film.com. has learned, according to their report, original report, that Rosario Dawson will appear in The Mandalorian Season 2 and are excited to report that she will be playing a fan favorite character previously only seen in the Star Wars animated productions. Dawson will be playing a live-action version of Ahsoka Tano, Anakin Skywalker's Jedi Padawan apprentice, who appeared in Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. This would be the character's first appearance in live action. All right, let's start with an easier question, and then we'll work into some others.
Okay.
All right. What do you guys think about a live action Ahsoka?
I like it. A while back, but well before this had ever, there have been rumors or anything, someone had made a fan art of Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka, and it looked really good. It worked well.
Well, that's because she had been on record a couple of times saying that she wanted to play this character.
Right.
So they started doing that.
So it looked really good, like some fan art thing. And so I like it. I'm a little nervous about the voice, obviously, because that's like the one thing that, you know, that's what really sets apart Ahsoka, is that she had a specific voice. So I'm just a little nervous as to how they're going to do that off, or how they're going to pull that off. Do you think they're going to dub, or do you think it's going to be just Rosario Dawson?
I don't think they can dub this. I mean, they've done a couple dubs before, but you can't do an extended character, you know, someone playing the character for an extended period of time and dub it. You know, at the end of Solo, when they dubbed in Sam Witwer's voice over Ray Park's acting, it was only for like a couple of lines.
Right.
Doing that with Ahsoka Tano, if they only give Ahsoka Tano total in live action, like 3 minutes of screen time, that's going to be a disaster for Star Wars. So they may only introduce her partially in this season, but eventually they're going to have to, if they're doing her in live action, they're going to have to make more of her character present. So I don't think you can dub that. What do you think about the idea of Ahsoka Tano in live action?
I mean, I've always wanted to see it because expanding the story is always a good thing. But of course, when you can't get Ashley in it, it's a little strange. But I'm sure it'll work out. They know what they're doing more than we do, and any of the Star Wars fans do. So
But that's not always an agreed upon statement.
Why?
You know, lots of people feel like there may be some. You know, maybe they feel like this.
Impressive.
Every word in that sentence was wrong.
You know, they don't like what Disney has done with Star Wars.
There are people who don't like what Disney has done with Star Wars.
You know what? Before that, there were lots of people that didn't like what George Lucas did with Star Wars. So yeah. Anyway, all right. Rosario Dawson. What do you guys think about that? Dawson has appeared in, she was in the movie Rent, which was a musical with Idina Menzel and some others. Sin City. She was in a lot of the DC animated movies. Do you know which ones she was in? Which characters she played?
She plays Wonder Woman in some of them.
Really?
Yeah. When was the actress for Hera.
So she's a voice actor.
Yes.
Interesting. And Marvel's Netflix shows like Daredevil and Luke Cage. She plays Daredevil's girlfriend. The nurse, yes.
Yeah, oh, actually, nurse. She also plays Barbara Gordon in the Lego Batman movie as well.
Does she really?
Yeah.
How did you know this? Just because you're so much into the DC animated universe?
I mean, I knew about it a while ago. But
he just remembers this stuff.
So thoughts on Dawson herself in this role?
I mean, I'm not super familiar with her work. I mean, I've seen like 2 episodes of Daredevil. I don't really watch many DC animated movies, and I've seen nothing else on here.
You have seen 2 movies that she's been in. Oh, she was in both Batman. The Death and the Return of Superman.
Okay. Well, I don't remember what role she is, so I'd have to go and rewatch it. But I think she'll be good. If she's a voice actress, then that's going to help for sure. And she's also live action, so
she's done a lot. She was in Will Smith and 7 Pounds. And some other stuff.
Okay.
She's already listed as Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian on IMDb.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people, after Slash Film broke this, you know, they started confirming it all over the place. Tons of major news outlets started reporting it. It's not like we got this covered. In fact, that was a post that we shared on our Facebook page was, this is not, you know, it was like The Hollywood Reporter or something like that that was reporting it. I'm like, this one isn't.
I keep getting
We got this covered.
Articles showing up on my
They pay a lot of money to be in our feed. And then, you know, we never click on a post.
And then I go to the comments, and all these people are starting to believe them.
Oh, they believe everything they say.
And I'm just like, what?
It was the same way it was before we started recording this podcast. We didn't know any better either. Yeah. All right, now there's controversy.
What?
No associated way. Associated with this. Hold on. They're really here.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
Ashley Eckstein has repeated. Here's the first piece of controversy. This one's easier to deal with. Ashley Eckstein has repeatedly said that she wants to play live action Ahsoka. And the truth, this is her statement that she put out about Rosario Dawson playing this. Now, Freddie Prinze Jr. talked about Rosario Dawson and how she loved her, you know, and thinks she's going to do great, which that pretty much indicates that he knows something. I don't think he'd tweet that if he didn't. Let's see who else commented on it. Clayton Sandell, who's a Star Wars nerd and does a lot of Star Wars reporting, but he's also an ABC News reporter for the big ABC News. He talked about, he confirmed that she is coming, that live action Ahsoka is coming. He had not confirmed whether or not it was going to be played by Rosario Dawson or not. But Ashley Eckstein's statement was, the truth is I am not involved in The Mandalorian. I can't answer questions for something I've not been a part of. I am an actress and I have performed in all types of mediums, live action, film, television, theater, voiceover, hosting, and it has been my dream for 14 years to continue to play Ahsoka Tano in all forms. So BB Nate, what do you think Ashley is implying in her statement there?
I mean, she really wants to play Ahsoka, and I can understand that. I mean,
it's her character.
Yeah. I mean, it would work if Disney really wanted to do it, but I think they had a different direction of what they wanted to go with. I don't know.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that soon after this announcement, or I don't know, either soon after or the picture surfaced of her cosplaying as Ahsoka. Which doesn't help.
And it looked like regular Ahsoka. I don't know why they didn't go with her, because she can do the voice.
Yeah, I know. I want to know why they didn't decide to go with Ashley. I mean, I'm not upset, obviously. I think they, you know.
Well, I don't think we have a dog in the fight in this one. You know, the Clone Wars was not like something that we were super emotionally attached to.
But we were super emotionally attached to Rebels, and she was a pretty big part of that.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, I don't know. I don't know why.
I feel like they know what they're doing, so that's why I'm calm about it. I'm just confused as to why they're not.
I mean, the Ahsoka we're going to see is Ahsoka right after Rebels, because that happens after 6.
Yeah,
that happens after 6, and
it's the Orion. It's like 5 or 6 years after the gray Ahsoka that we saw in the end of the epilogue of Rebels.
Do you think she's searching for Ezra still? Or
she may have already found him. Do you think we get Sabine just on the side note? Because she's with Sabine when we last see her.
If they're still looking for Ezra.
We might see her like just in the background.
Well, this is the Mandalorian, guys. She's a Mandalorian. I know. She's held the Darksaber, and the Darksaber exists in the Mandalorian.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they could go with the same actress as voice, because she'd be wearing a helmet.
Yeah. So, now, there's more controversy.
What?
But this controversy is a little bit more difficult to have a conversation about on something like a family-friendly Star Wars podcast. But there's allegations that have surfaced against Rosario Dawson and her family. And this is what a lot of people are talking about on the Twitterverse right now and on social media, Facebook. I've seen it as well. And the claim is that she and her family actually assaulted a transgender woman that was working for them. So the storyline is that, or the allegation is, they hired this, what they believed to be a lesbian woman, to work within their home, like their mansion or something like that. I'm not sure what role it was, and I don't want to assume that role. But then later found out after they had hired this person that this person was transgender. And apparently the allegation is that they didn't like this. And there's actually, allegations that Rosario Dawson herself was actually involved in physically assaulting this person in anger and all of this, which is a really weird scenario because Rosario Dawson herself has come out as being lesbian recently. And it's just like weird controversy surrounding the entire thing.
Yeah, so. I don't know. It's strange. I mean, there's always controversy around the Star Wars world. I mean,
I think you could almost find some sort of controversy or rumors or allegations for almost any actor or actress out there, you know, except maybe Keanu Reeves. But you know what I mean?
Keanu Reeves's controversy is that he's just too much of a great guy.
I know.
He's too nice. But I mean, as to whether it's true or not, I don't think anyone's really going to know.
Well, here's the thing. She's actually married or engaged to Cory Booker, who was a senator. He is a senator, U.S. senator from New Jersey, and he actually ran for president in 2016. He was one of the Democratic candidates that was running for the nomination. It's a part of me feels like we're going to see one of two different directions that happens with Rosario Dawson, and that is either we're going to have to find out that all of this is not true because Disney's not going to bring her in and do this.
Oh, absolutely not.
Or she's going to be pulled out. And I can't imagine all of this happening the last week with talk about, or a couple of weeks with Rosario Dawson being this person, if Disney hasn't figured out where we're at. Where they're at with this and kind of knows the story, knows what's going to happen legally with it, and all that type of thing.
So. And this is kind of the question I just came up with. Do you think that if we do see Ahsoka and Mandalorian, maybe for one or two episodes that she's the main character in for an arc maybe, do you think that those could be considered a backdoor pilot for a new Ahsoka series?
Well, that's the rumor going around right now. That there, if it works in The Mandalorian and it's received well, that they're actually in process of beginning a Disney Plus Ahsoka series.
Yeah. Like,
maybe set between Clone Wars and Rebels.
Well, if we do that, then it's going to collide with the book. And we've got to have...
Well, it only collides for a little bit. That period of time at the beginning in the book is only for a few months at most.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's when Bail Organa actually enlists her at the end of that. Spoiler alert.
Oops.
Enlists her at the end to help him build the rebellion. And that's when they nickname her Fulcrum, which is what we get to in Rebels.
Do you think we see like a Fulcrum?
Do we see her as functioning as Fulcrum? Is that the name of the series? Do we see her maybe interacting with the Cassian Andor at some point, because she could overlap with that. He becomes Fulcrum.
Yeah.
Later, after she's gone with it. What do you think about that idea? Do you think that we could see her go from Mandalorian to potentially the Cassian Andor series and then launch into her own series?
So, like, have, like, maybe one or two episodes in Mandalorian that's received well, a few more episodes in Cassian, and then give her own show.
Maybe she even interacts with a Ben Kenobi on Tatooine.
Ooh, as Fulcrum. Kenobi series. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
She's kind of fun.
Maybe that's all she's
kind
does.
Of like the, she's kind of like the, what is it? Forrest Gump,
Of Star Wars. Yeah, that's true. So.
All behind all the main events or whatever.
So let's talk about this for just a couple more minutes. We've got a few more minutes in the show here. So why is Ahsoka so popular?
Yeah, I mean, I think largely it's because a lot of fans grew up with her. You know, this show started. Oh, jeez. When did Clone Wars start?
2000.
Yeah, you were. It was like your first movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
BB-8?
Yeah, it was my first movie.
I mean, it was. It's been a while. When did.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's. Well, she says it right here. She says she's been doing it for 14 years. So that goes back to 2006. 2008.
Yeah,
so
I said 2008.
2008, 2006, something like that. So,
yeah, that's, man. So, yeah, a lot of like the people who are growing up and starting to actually do podcasts and things like that, you know, they were able to grow up on it a bit.
But at the beginning, she was very controversial. She wasn't liked. And there was like a lot of almost Rose level hate to Ahsoka.
I mean, it's the same thing with the prequels right now. Like, they were originally hated, but now everyone just kind of accepts them and likes them. Anyway.
I mean, the more we got Ahsoka, the more people started to like her because they figured out her story. She just showed up and she was kind of a brat. I mean, no offense.
No, she was. She was like, you know, Snips is what, you know, his sky guy and all that kind of stuff.
We got to see more of her character and we actually
liked her.
Yeah. The Clone Wars was basically just about Ahsoka, not really about
anybody else. That's what it was about. That's what the story's about.
So the more people got to see her and, you know her more, it helped. And I mean, we never really saw the end of her story, though. I mean, we might see a little bit of it from the Clone Wars and the rest of the season.
Yeah, but that's not the end of her story, because then it picks back up as Fulcrum. Definitely. And then when we get to the end of Rebels, when, you know, we talked about it a minute ago. She's
basically Ahsoka the White.
She's like, yeah, she's like Gandalf with it. And she's taking Sabine off to go look for Ezra. Yeah. So we don't know how everything sort of closes out.
That's true.
With her. I think also one of the things that I think is important to note or to think about when it comes to Ahsoka is that she really brought out the best in Anakin. Mm-hmm. You know, she challenged him. Anakin saw himself in her in a lot of ways, that almost a sibling type relationship between Anakin and her throughout the Clone Wars, the betrayal and stuff. But all of that, really, we see her expecting the best out of Anakin. And almost demanding that as her master. Mm. And it helped raise Anakin to a new level. And so I think people love Ahsoka from that perspective too, because it helps make Anakin a better character. Mm. The Clone Wars series itself makes Anakin a much more beloved character than just watching the prequel movies. Do you agree with me? Disagree?
Yeah, definitely. It really fleshes out his character and you get to see more of his emotions.
And then you know, the last thing I would think of just is that she asked questions about the Jedi Order that we were all asking. Yeah. You know, that you know, when we get to the end of her arc in season 5, we're going to see that, I hope, in the next few episodes too with her in this season 7, is she's questioning, is the Jedi Order on the right side of this war? Is the Jedi Order, you know, the way that they're – are they being true to the Jedi code or teachings and that kind of thing, now that they're generals? That's a big part of the arc. And that's actually what Barriss Offee is really bringing to the table at the end of season 5 too, when she's like trying to help Ahsoka and communicating with her on it. You know, if we want to kind of go down a dad moment level here, you know, we could talk about Church kind of understanding Ahsoka in the light of the Force really is the religion in Star Wars. We've sort of talked about that a lot. And the Jedi Order functions sort of as the institutional religion of that of Star Wars. So like for the instance, physical, like no, like the church, like as an organization, right? So you've got denominations, and you've got, you know, these groups with leaderships and associations, and there's like this formalization of the Force,
right?
Is the Jedi Order?
Mm-hmm.
But it's in we see in Ahsoka in her story that the corruption of the Jedi Order is really what causes her disillusionment within the Star Wars universe. You know, like she just like starts to question everything.
Right.
Because, you know, we see her in Rebels when she's confronting at the end of season two, she's confronting Vader and he's like, you know, that's not the way of the Jedi. And she's like, I'm no Jedi.
Right.
You know, so she doesn't want to be a Jedi anymore. And so there's this sort of disconnect between her and the formal Jedi institution with it, which is really similar to the way a lot of people feel about the Christian church.
Yeah.
With it, you know, with the corruption, you know, we see this in Catholicism, we see this in Protestantism. You've got on the Catholic side, you've got the sex abuse scandals of, you know, abusing children and all of that. You know, people question what is that all about? How can these people be speaking for God or that type of thing? And then in the Christian world, you got pastors all the time being exposed for having affairs and sexual abuse on children. And you've got these name it, claim it, send me your money and God's going to bless you preachers. And it's all a bunch of garbage that people are so sick of with it. So I can totally understand the idea.
It pushes a lot of people away from the church.
Exactly. And really it's a big part of the entire, you know, remainder of Star Wars, the storyline, you know, with Luke, you know, the Jedi Order has to end and all of that. So
all because of the corruption.
Yeah. I mean, that conversation in The Last Jedi after the, or as the second lesson, is really Ahsoka's story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
I wonder even if we could ever see an Ahsoka interact with a Luke in the Mandalorian era with it, because I think that they could have interacted together.
Yeah.
At some point. Maybe he's starting to question some things as well. But the beautiful thing I love about Ahsoka is while she doesn't really approve of the Jedi Order as an institution, she remains true to what her beliefs are as the Jedi and the light side and her faith in spite of all this disillusionment and betrayal. So my encouragement to all of us is while you may disagree with institutional religions and all of that, there is a God and we can put our faith and trust in him because he's not corrupt and he's not evil. So. All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. So Star Wars Rise of Skywalker cut a tribute to Jim Henson's Labyrinth.
Yeah. That's like a really trippy.
It's like from the 80s.
Muppets.
It's super strange.
Rock stars.
Didn't it have starring, David Bowie in it?
I think so, yeah. And it was trippy. But 80s. There was going to be a character that was one of the main characters in that. He was going to be in where John Williams is in The Rise of Skywalker. He was going to be in that. And they had to cut that section of it. So
The Rise of Skywalker comic teases an unrevealed story.
Yeah, a story that's not even revealed in The Rise of Skywalker.
Novelization.
The novelization, right, with it. So they're like throwing something else in there.
Pick them up.
I know, that's going to be fun.
All the shops are closed.
Yeah, well, they're not even printing, I don't think, right now, are they?
DC still is up.
Oh, that's cool. Hasbro announces Star Wars changes to the way that they're doing their products, and Mark Boudreau's retirement. Mark Boudreau has been involved in the design and like the Star Wars side of Hasbro for decades. He's been, you know, a part of some of the most iconic moments or items within Star Wars, Hasbro's history, and he's retiring, and they're going to make some changes to
what
it.
Changes?
I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I know that they rolled out a bunch of new stuff
today,
even I made some announcements. Pretty some cool. Great Black Series figures. You see that Black Series Boba Fett carbonized?
Yeah, I'm on it.
That's cool. All right. Well, let's talk about this week's, I got it right.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, podcast poll of the week. How do you feel? I'm tempted, you know, this is, here we go.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Usually when we talk about Star Wars fandom, we have to play that sound effect.
That's true.
It can be interesting. How do you feel about Rosario Dawson playing a live-action Ahsoka in The Mandalorian? Love it, hate it, meh, or other comment below. What do you say?
meh right now because I really don't know.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm going to be with Nate. Just meh. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I'm excited for it just because I want to get a live action.
Yeah, so. That's true. I'm excited for it. It's just,
Well, that's going to pretty much do it for this episode. We got through it.
We did it.
So in a few weeks, we hope to be announcing something huge for us. Goal is May the 4th. There's a reason why we need these episodes to be less than 45 minutes. We'll just say that. When this comes out, we're going to ask you guys to blast it all over. So thank you guys so much. We're super excited. Please subscribe to us on the podcast service that you're listening to us on, whichever one that is. And then follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Twitter too, but follow us on Facebook.
I have spoken.
And, you know, then give us reviews. We need the reviews right now. The reviews are huge for us. So thank you, Todd. We appreciate that review. If you're listening to this right now and you've not given us a review, we're asking you to do that. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
This party's over.
May the force be with you. I am off. Always.
This party's over.
There you go.
What'd you do? This party's over. Hold on. We'll just throw this one in here for fun. You're laughing. Listen to this one.
Joy, please.
Don't get cocky.
Yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.